Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. A few weeks ago, we looked at the first five verses of this chapter, and I'd like to look at a few more. Tonight, this passage of Scripture is what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. It's our Lord preaching and setting forth that which is absolutely so concerning His people. Blessed, verse 6, are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, you know, as our Lord speaks concerning those that are blessed, when He says, blessed, the believer's spiritual ear is tuned to hear what He has to say. Who are those that are blessed? Who are they? Who are they that are blessed of God and made to know something of that blessing? Now, I can tell you that these that are blessed, and I'd like, Lord willing, to look at verse 5, 6, and 7. And I'm sorry, 6, 7, and 8. But these that are blessed, they're blessed. You know this by Almighty God. And these that are blessed give evidence of what God has done. They make no claim whatsoever to having produced anything in themselves. Blessed are they that hunger, thirst after righteousness. Now, you know, I know a little something about that, and you do too. You know a little bit about hungering and thirsting. Every day we get up. Most of us, we got a pretty good pattern. We get hungry. We get up and eat breakfast. We want to eat some lunch. We want to eat some dinner. And we get hungry. We've got a need. We've got a need to eat. We've got a need to drink physically. Spiritually, the believer does too. And it's not a one-time thing. He hungers and he thirsts daily. This hungering and thirsting after righteousness, it has to do with a soul hunger, and it is something that the carnal mind knows nothing of. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. It's a need that a believer has. That need must be satisfied, or there's pain. If you are hungry and you don't have something to eat, you know the evidence that you're hungry? You start to hurt. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness know something of pain. And it's the pain that they feel of the presence of sin. They hunger and thirst after righteousness because of what they see in themselves. Hunger pains, thirst pains, that's natural to the carnal man. But hungering and thirsting after righteousness to the point of hurting because of sin that dwells and the grieving over the frailties, that's evidence of true life. Man by nature drinks iniquity like water. He's like a vulture that feasts on death, a bird that you see out in the middle of the road and he's feasting on something dead. You see a dead possum or something out there. And you got a bird out there and that's what they eat, that's what they like, that's what they desire. The believer, hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Hungers because he's got a heart to, a new heart. Righteousness. That's what he hungers after. Not self-righteousness. He knows his self-righteousness is but filthy rags and will never stand before God, before God's law. But the righteousness of Christ Jesus, our Lord, that righteousness imputed to those that believe Him, that trust Him, they hunger after that. They hunger for His righteousness. But the hungering has got to be satisfied. It's got to be. The Lord Jesus Christ, He said in John, look here, John chapter 6. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Scripture promises, they shall be filled. What is their bread? What's their food? What is their food? They're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They're hungering and thirsting after Him. John chapter 6, verse 49 says, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now listen. No man eats the flesh of the Son of Man, the Son of God, drinks his blood spiritually, if he doesn't hunger and thirst for it. He's got to be made hungry. Hunger is created. Hunger is an evidence. Hunger after Christ. Hungering after Him. Thirsting after Him. Is evidence of life. Before a man or woman is given a heart after Christ, he hungers not for Him. Or he may hunger for religion. Or he's got a hunger to see self-righteousness, you know. He hungers after his own glory. He hungers after himself. But hungering and thirsting after Christ, evidence of a new heart. Look at this verse. John 6, 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Now listen, what did the Lord say are blessed? Who are they blessed? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me, now look at this, shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The Scripture says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Christ said, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. You know what he's saying? He that cometh to me will not go away and still be hungry. That's what he said. I'm the bread. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He won't stay in a state of hunger. He's going to be fed. I'll feed him. The life I give him, I give him my life. Coming to Christ, he that cometh to Christ never hungers. Why? Because he eats. He eats of Christ. Believing on Christ, he never thirsts. Why? Because he drinks of his blood. This righteousness that a man hungers and thirsts after. He hungers and thirsts after the perfect obedience of Christ. That which Christ has done, he has obeyed as a man, earned by his obedience, righteousness before God's law, charged to his people, those that believe, they hunger after him, must stand in him by his imputed righteousness. By Christ, in Christ, are his people accepted accepted in the Beloved. He was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. This hungering and thirsting after righteousness is not merely a desire to escape hell. God's people are concerned long after His honor, His glory, His praise. They're not trying to just escape punishment, though they do. They're concerned with Him. They hunger after Him. It's the craving of a new heart for God's honor in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a desire for salvation God's way. That is, by His sovereign grace. It's not those that try to produce their own righteousness, but those that hunger for it. I don't create food. I may hunger for it, long for it. I can't produce righteousness. I hunger after His. I'm void of personal, fit righteousness. I stand in need. I need Him. Hungering and thirsting after His righteousness is to be sick of my own righteousness. Oh, wretched man. That's what Paul said, that I am. It is to believe that Christ has absolutely obtained righteousness for me. And I hunger and I thirst for it. This desire lies at the foundation of true godliness, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Blessed are they. All such that hunger and thirst after righteousness come to Him empty-handed. Come to Christ, nothing to offer in themselves. They come to Him for mercy and filled with all the blessings of Christ is found in Him. Accepted by God, pardoned by His blood, filled with the fruit of His righteousness, which is by Christ Jesus, desiring after Him, longing after Him, is to hunger after. Thirst after Him. And it's always in the present. He doesn't say, blessed are they that hungered and thirsted. It's blessed are they that hunger. Right now. You that believe, hunger after Him right now. I must feast on Him right now. I must drink of Him. Can I say it like this? Hungering and thirsting after Him is to long after Him. Long after. Long after His presence. Abide with me. I need Thee every hour, daily, to feast upon Him. He appeals to me. God has given me a heart after Him, a longing after Him. It's a desire to be where He is. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They're going to be filled. Blessed are the merciful, verse 7, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are they who by a new heart are gracious people as a result of a new heart. Mercy. Blessed are the merciful. I looked up the word mercy, and it's to lay to heart the miseries of others and to be instrumental in doing them good. That's what Mr. Webster says. Mercy. Laying to heart the miseries of others and to be instrumental. But I'm going to tell you something. This merciful right now, and a man by nature, carnal man by nature, can have an outward sense of showing mercy. Now that's not a hard thing to do. A lot of folks that we know that make no claim whatsoever to the gospel of free grace, the Lord Jesus Christ that we serve, that show mercy. They have a mercifulness, but it's the intent of the heart. Now man looks on the outside. God looks on the heart. Blessed are the merciful. those that for Christ's sake, by God's grace, have been given a heart for the miseries of others, and I'm talking about spiritual miseries. If someone is at the mercy of another, it means that the powerful one can do whatever he desires, do whatever he wants. They're at the mercy of somebody else. But spiritual miseries that are detected by God's people have a heart that's merciful. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Paul says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, and see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." Look at verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Look at verse 25. Paul says, "Brethren, pray for us. I charge you by the Lord Jesus that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Do you detect in what he's saying a spirit of mercifulness? Blessed are those that are merciful, that see spiritual miseries in other men. As God's people, we do show mercy to those that are fallen in physical misery. But especially do God's people show mercy in the desire to see men come to Christ. Merciful. We show mercy to men in speaking to God about men. I read something just then. Brethren, pray for us. 1 Thessalonians 5, that's what we read. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:1. 2 Thessalonians. I should have kept my finger where I was. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. "Finally, my brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." Praying for men, praying for others. Men are merciful in that they pray for one another. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do in John 17? He said to his Father, "Father, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I pray for those you've given me out of the world." We show mercy to those in need. Those of our family that know not our God. Is it not an act of mercy in seeing the frailty of others that we pray for? Mercy. Now, that's what I read a while ago. I looked it up. And as I thought about that, what is mercy? It's seeing the miseries of others. Showing mercy to the miseries of others. Men by nature don't know where they are before God, praying for one another. Mercy is shown in the encouragement, telling others about Christ. You remember when Andrew, Peter's brother, met the Lord? What did he do? He told Peter. He said, "We found the Messiah." We tell men concerning who Christ is. What did our Lord command His disciples to do? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Merciful. Kind. It's a wonderful thing to show mercy to others. But mercy shown. Almighty God shows mercy to His people. In the calling out of His sheep, He sends pastors. He's a merciful God. A man is called by God, stands and proclaims the gospel of free grace. Why? Because God is merciful in sending His Word and calling them out by His gospel. Mercy is shown in our attitude toward others. Colossians chapter 3. I told you a while ago, these are evidences. Man by nature has no heart whatsoever after the things of God. Man by nature he's evil, he's corrupt, he's selfish, and cares not for the things of God. But blessed are those that are merciful. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12-13. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. I looked up that word bowels. It means inward mercy. Heart mercy. Not to be seen of men. Anybody can show some acts of kindness just so people pat them on the back. But inward bowels of mercy. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Merciful, for Christ's sake. Blessed are those that show mercy, for they shall obtain mercy. Obtain mercy. And then verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure heart. That word pure means holy, clean, and undefiled. Blessed are the pure in heart. This is essential. Psalm 24, verse 3. Now, I read those things, those three verses. I thought to myself, that's a high order. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I know just enough about myself. And as I thought on myself, I thought, how much do I see in myself? I'm talking about truly hungering. I mean craving, desiring, longing after, yearning for righteousness. How much mercy do I see in myself being bestowed upon others, praying for one another, longing after, praying God show mercy, praying God bless His Word, crying out to God to have mercy and call out His elect and bless the hearing of this Word. I'm going to tell you something. This is pretty convicting to me. And then I got to this one. Blessed are the pure in heart. When I looked up the definition, the holy, the clean, the undefiled. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. You know what? I need one who does have a pure heart. I need one who does have clean hands. I need one who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. To answer for me. I need Christ, His righteousness, His purity, His holiness to be charged to me. Peter commands us to love one another with a pure heart fervently. But who can say, Proverbs 20 verse 9, I've made my heart clean? Who can say I am pure from my sin? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? I'll tell you this. Not one out of Adam's fallen race. Man's heart is a dungeon of dragons and darkness. It's a stable of foul lusts. Such power to have a clean, pure heart belongs to Almighty God alone. Man contributes nothing. But every believer in Christ is the subject of purity and holiness of heart in Him only. Every man born in Adam is born with a heart that is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. But by His regenerating grace, God, by His power, gives man. He said, I'll give you a new heart. I'll remove that stony heart. I'll give you a new one, new spirit, new man, His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. A pure heart. Oh, that claim right there. The claim, the evidence, the possession of that is by the imputed righteousness of Christ. But that pure heart that God attributes to His own by that imputation, that pure heart has a pure object before it. It looks and longs after Him. It hungers and thirsts for His righteousness. It fears the Lord in the reverence. It sees Him, I understand, through a glass darkly, but it sees Him. Now by faith, then by sight. And that pure heart hates sin. Hates it. Despises it. Grieves over it. Mourns over it. And it breathes after holiness. In Romans 7, Paul says, I serve with this mind, with this new mind. I serve the law of God. He said, in my flesh, I serve the law of sin. Serves it. Here, we behold nothing less than our Lord's righteousness. A pure heart's heaviest burden is the continual discovery of sin that indwells, that it sees daily. They shall see the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see the Lord. They see the Lord now by faith, working all things in this world after the counsel of His own will. And they shall see the Lord in life hereafter by sight. They'll behold Him, see Him as He is. These things that Almighty God declares to be so, these are too high for me. These are unattainable in myself, but they're blessings. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst. And some do. Some do. They hunger and thirst after righteousness. They're going to be filled. They're going to eat of Him. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy from God. God's given them a heart to be merciful, gracious. Blessed are the pure in heart. They're going to see God. All these spiritual blessings that we have in Him, a believer rejoices in them. Our Father, how we thank You this night for the blessedness and the evidence of these things that You say are so. We recognize that we make no claim to these from our own efforts. Lord, we know that in ourselves we can do nothing. You're the vine, we're the branch. We must be in You for life. Father, we pray, teach us these things. Teach us to rejoice in these things. Teach us to rejoice in that which You've done. We pray that You'd forgive us. We pray that You'd bless this word. Call, we pray, Your people out. Establish us for Christ's sake.